Good morning. So Dave walked up to me yesterday or last Sunday after service and says, "Hey, you want to do a lesson?" I said, "Oh crap! Is it my turn to be the teacher?" And he says, "Well, we never actually got a list put together, so yeah, it's your turn." So here it is, my turn. I had a preacher once at Orlando, and he had this thing where he would say all the time, "Are you listening?" When he was making a point, when he was getting ready to say something that he thought to be important, when he was getting ready to hit the focal point of his lesson, he would always say, "Are you listening?" And you know, that's a fair question to ask. Are we listening? During his ministry, Jesus concluded several lessons by saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, he did this at least a few times, once concerning John the Baptist in Matthew 11:15. He did it once with the parable of the sower in Matthew 13:9. And he did it again when he was explaining the parable of the tares in Matthew 13:43. And then the Apostle John does it whenever he finishes addressing one of his letters to the seven churches of Asia in Revelation. But he has a different spin on it. He says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So what's the point? Why ask the question, "Are you listening?" Why make the statement, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear"? Well, it's basically like saying, what I'm about to tell you is crucial. It is of the utmost importance. You'd better pay attention. You know, when we can look at another reference in Mark 4. Jesus says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Then he said to them, "Take heed of what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." It illustrates that Jesus had a problem that often exists today. It's that people don't listen. Now, there's a plethora of reasons why people might not listen. You know, the reasons are many and varied. But I think you can hammer them down to just a few. Another problem, though, beyond the fact that people just don't listen, is that they don't listen in a way which allows them to understand. It's that whole in one ear and out the other thing. Like, "Yeah, I heard what you said, but I didn't chew on it. I didn't think it over. I didn't take any kind of meaning out of it." And I feel certain that there are many people today that simply don't appreciate the importance of listening well. I just got into this program at work to groom people for management, and the very first course that we had this week was on communication and about this thing called active listening, you know, where you're focused. They said you lean in, you know, you actually lean across the table to look, you know, to show that you are aware and that you're listening and that you're placing importance on the message being delivered by the person you're speaking with. And I started thinking of instances where I'd been in meetings, when I'd been on conference calls, when I'd been on video chats, when it was abundantly clear that the people that I was on the call with couldn't have cared less. Maybe it was about their own material that they were presenting. Maybe it was about what I had to say. Maybe it was about what my company had to say to them. You know, it concerned Jesus, this problem that we still have today, that people don't listen. So I think it's appropriate to ask, how well do you listen? And that's what we're going to dive into. So in my mind, there's three types of listeners. There's the dull of hearing, and we take this reference coming out of Hebrews 5:11. said, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. This is the Hebrew writer. We still aren't really sure who it was. We've got some ideas, but we're not real sure. And the problem that was going on is that when a person has a problem, it's hard for others to explain things to them. When they have this thing where they're dull of hearing, they might be listening to you, but they're distracted, maybe. Maybe they don't have the basic knowledge that they need to understand what you're telling them. And how do we apply this in the Christian sense? Maybe it's a new Christian and we're talking over their head, and they don't have the fundamentals down. Or maybe it's a more experienced Christian, and they're just not paying attention. Catch myself doing it all the time. Like, all the time. I get distracted. My stomach growls. Man, I'm hungry. What's for lunch? Oh, man, there's something in the crock pot. It's going to be good. Oh, man, where are we going to go after church? I wonder who's going to go. I wonder if we'll go to Ryan's again. That was always a good one. As you can tell, my distractions focus around food and the fact that I'm, you know, I kind of like to eat. But it still pulls me away from the meat of what's going on in the lessons. I think, man, I don't want to go to work this week. I have this, and this due. I have like 18 meetings, and I don't want to be there. Or, man, I've got these service projects that I got to work on this week, and I don't want to do it. And then you just shoot off into your own little world. How many of us are guilty of that? Man, there are liars in here. I didn't see every hand go up. And there's our truly honest man. Thank you, Rich. You know, the fault is not when it's with these dull of hearing, the fault's not necessarily with the material. Not necessarily. Nor the presenter, but with the listener. Isaiah wrote about these kind of people, and Jesus applied it in several ways in his day. Specifically, we can look at Matthew 13, verses 13 through 15. Jesus says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. People are that way because of their dull ears, because they're dull of hearing. They're missing their opportunities to perceive. They're missing their opportunities to grow. It prevents them from understanding God's truth. It prevents them from turning away from sin. And it prevents them from being healed. And this is, of course, in the spiritual sense. Who on earth would want to be dull of hearing? And yet, it's not that difficult for us to slip into that way. And then there's people with itching ears. In our types of listeners, we've got the dull of hearing, and then we've got the people with itching ears. I think I'd rather be dull of hearing than be this one. Paul describes it in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So this kind of person, this is the one that only wants to hear what's pleasing to them. All right, this is the kind of person that wants to go and find a feel-good congregation where nobody ever tells you that you're doing something wrong, where no one ever tells you about what's going to happen if you're not obedient, where no one ever tells you that there's something more to this life than just, oh, you tried, you did so good, good for you. Everybody likes praise. If you don't, there's probably something wrong with you. Personally, I love having my ego stroked, and I'm not going to lie about it. I really enjoy being told I did a good job. But when I screw up, I need somebody to let me know. Otherwise, I'm not going to be doing a good job anymore. And even better than being told I'm doing a good job, I actually like doing a good job. I like being correct. I like not being wrong, especially when it concerns spiritual matters. I really don't want to be wrong about stuff like that. And the people with the itching ears, they don't want to be told they're wrong. And that is unbelievably dangerous. So they don't like sound doctrine, essentially. And Paul talks about that in the verse prior in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. And because they only want to hear what's pleasing, they're going to find the teachers that tell them what they want to hear. You know, there are a dime a dozen people that'll tweak the word just enough to hide a problem that you're having and make it sound like everything's okay. You know, I've talked before with people about how the teachers that are out there spouting blatant lies, they're not nearly as dangerous as the people that turn it just enough to make it wrong, but still sound okay. A lot of people today are afflicted with these hearing problems, if you will, being dull of hearing, having these itching ears. But of course, if you've got wrong ways to listen, you've got a right way to listen. And his third listener is the one that hears with a noble and a good heart. So Jesus talked about this group in Luke chapter 8. But the ones that fell on the good ground, and he's explaining the parable of the sower here, are those who, having heard the word with a noble and a good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. These are the ones that are looking for the truth. They're open to the message, and they don't want to dilute it. They don't want to change it from what it is. Rather than trying to shape it to be what they want it to be, they want to shape themselves to be what the Word says they should be. It's a big difference. Paul, in Acts chapter 17, he had been talking to people in Thessalonica, and then he came to Berea. And the people in Berea, they were these noble and good listeners. In verse 11 of chapter 17, it says that these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. It says they were fair-minded, so they were willing to give Paul a chance, which is important. It showed how they received and how they listened to the word. They listened with understanding. They were open to having someone teach them what was going on. And this is the kind of listener we should be. So you're dull of hearing, you have itching ears, or you're listening with that noble and good heart. So those are the three types of listeners. But why is it important to be a good listener, to listen well? I'm sure you've all got ideas bouncing around, so let's throw some of them out here. We've got the fact that it's essential to being blessed. For those that listen properly, of course, this is in a spiritual sense, God's blessings come to the people that obey Him, to the people that serve Him and fashion their lives after His Son. And how on earth can you do that if you're not listening when someone provides you instruction? We all start off in the same place as new Christians. And as other people walk down the road and gain experience and gain knowledge in the Scriptures and help to fashion us the way we should be, you've got to be willing to listen a little bit. More than that, though, we have an opportunity that early Christians didn't have. We've got our Bible laid out. I mean, sure, they had the apostles, and they had teachers, and some of them even had direct contact with Jesus, but We have everything we need right here. We've got our history, you know, everything in the Old Testament, which gives us our base to work off of. And we've got all this stuff in the New Testament. All of our problems can be resolved if we dig in here and listen when someone's teaching from it. And this is an opportunity that a lot of people think, like David, a man after God's own heart, he didn't have that kind of opportunity to have all of God's words put down for him in a quick, easy reference. We're kind of spoiled that way. It's essential that we listen well for saving our faith. In Romans 1, verses 16 and 17, God ordered that we're going to be saved through faith in Christ. You know, faith is what compels us to be obedient. Obedience drives us to being baptized. And obedience drives us to being obedient and listening and doing the things that we should do to keep ourselves on that heaven-bound path. And this faith comes through people teaching the gospel to us. And before that and after that and all the way through, us continuing to read the Bible. You know, and make no mistake, we can certainly gain faith through reading the Bible on our own, but how much more do you learn when you have a chance to run over things with someone else? You know, when I sit in Papa's class, when I sat in Jimmy's class, when I sit out here in the auditorium, and when I have a chance to learn, I get a lot more out of things than I would if I were to just read it for myself. I get differing viewpoints. I get somebody to explain something that I wouldn't have gotten. People bring things up that I completely missed. Things that help to edify my faith. And if you're not listening, all of those opportunities just breeze by you. It's essential to help prevent apostasy. It's one of those fancy $2 preacher words, which means leaving the faith. Going and abandoning whatever it is that you currently practice for something else. The Jews that became Christians, they apostasized. What's the verb form of leaving that and going? Thank you. They apostatized from Judaism to Christianity. But if they could do it the correct way, couldn't we do that in reverse? Couldn't we go to some other form? Maybe we just go off to a false teacher. We apostatize from our true faith based in the Bible to something else, based off of false teaching, based off of opinion, based off of something that's not even scriptural. In Hebrews chapter 2, the writer talks about something like that. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Poor listening is the first step to people being pulled away. If you're not listening closely, if you're not paying attention to what's said, yeah, you can miss things. You can miss opportunities to learn. You can miss opportunities to grow your faith, but you can also miss somebody sneaking something false in there on you. So how can you be a better listener? We've told you the kinds of listeners. We told you why you want to be a good listener. So how do you get there? How you listen to God's word being read or preached is as much an indication of your devotion to God as to how you pray or sing. All right? When we have our song service, you can just hear it. We are involved. We are invested in that portion of our worship. When you hear somebody come up and give a prayer, especially some of the guys over there, you can tell that it is earnest, that it is heartfelt, that it is honest, open worship. So why don't we do the same with our listening? Why don't we make that as big a part of our worship? Why don't we emphasize that as much? So when you have that opportunity to listen, do it with this kind of worshipful attitude, for lack of a better word or phrase. Think of how you would listen if some person that you looked up to were speaking. I don't know, about a little over a year ago, there was an event at TPAC, and like my favorite celebrity chef guy came and did a live show, and I was enthralled. I was sitting in my chair and I was leaning forward, and I was just, everybody else and everything else was dead to me for those 2 hours. You couldn't have pulled my attention away if you wanted to. Why don't we do that here? I mean, as much as I enjoyed the guy making like a pizza with like 50 stage lights, he was using like 1,000-watt stage lights, and he made like an easy bake oven out of them, and the whole Jackson Hole smelled like pizza when he was done with it. It was really cool. But why don't we give that attention here? This is way more important than his giant easy bake oven. And I sometimes don't pay the attention that I should. Doesn't God's word deserve at least that much attention? It's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to forget the reason that we're here. You can kind of go on autopilot. You know, we do it all through the week, probably. I know I do. I wake up, I hop in my car, I drive to work, I get my coffee, I sit at my desk, I check my email, I send my daily pacing, I send the call log, I do this and this and this, and I just zone out the entire time. We have to make sure that we don't do that in worship. So we have to make listening an act of worship, and we need to listen from first to last. The minute we walk in those doors until the minute we walk out, or I guess until amen is said, if that's a better kind of phrase for you, we need to be listening. Think about it like this. If you were to read a novel, would you understand it if you just kind of cherry-picked a sentence here and there? No. If you're reading a textbook, are you going to get enough material out of it to pass your test if you just read, you know, kind of top sentence of each paragraph? No. And I'm probably going to run myself into the dirt here. Speakers have a lot to do with this. Yeah, I know. Here we go. Speakers have a certain set of rules that they should be following. All right? Introduction to the subject. You present your main points with supporting information, and then you summarize it at the end. It helps to keep you focused as you're moving through everything. Basically, you say what you're going to tell them, you tell them about it, and then you tell them what you told them. That's how one of my speaking teachers told me one time. So listeners need to be listening all the way through to get all the different parts. An easy one. This is something that we touched on in this management class that I was in last week. Look at the person who's talking to you. It is shocking what eye contact does for your attention level. Let's see how long it takes him. We're talking about looking at the speaker. I'm sorry, Sean. I saw you looking down. I just had to pick on you for a second. Looking elsewhere makes it really easy for your mind to wander. I've done it. I know it happens. Closing your eyes makes it easy to drift off. There's a guy back at Orlando, and I can never tell if he's really, really focused on what I'm saying or if he's asleep. And that is the honest truth. Because he comes up and talks to me about my lesson afterwards, and I think to myself, you were looking down with your eyes closed the whole time. I think I might have actually seen your head jerk a little bit when you went like into sleep. Another easy way to pay attention and to listen all the way through, read along in your Bible. You know, sometimes if you're new at it, if you don't really use a paper Bible very much, your fingers are a little slow sometimes, it's kind of hard to keep up, but you get better at it. You know, you get a better understanding of your personal Bible. How many pages to this? Where in my Bible is this? You know, having something to look at keeps people focused. It's oftentimes why people around here will use a PowerPoint or will use some kind of presentation. I should probably start doing those. I used to, and then I stopped because it takes so... Well, I'm bad at PowerPoint. They don't ever look very nice, so I just leave those away. You know, we encourage kids in our Bible classes to flip through their Bibles, right? Follow along with us. We encourage them to read for us, to kind of get them pulled in and listening. Might be a thought. Maybe we can start incorporating that into our own worship. Why don't we encourage people, you know, turn with me in your Bibles too. That's another thing. The preacher there at Orlando, he does all the time. Turn with me in your Bibles too. Insert verse here. Starting right off the bat, wanting to pull you in and make you focused. Finally, you want to listen with a mind to act. What I mean by that is when you're listening to someone, you're taking mental notes. Okay, off of this lesson, I know that I can put into practice this and this and this. And I'm going to put into practice this and this and this. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 33. We're going to look at something real quick. Back in Ezekiel's day, they were struggling a little bit. And the people, they made an admission to Ezekiel. Chapter 33, verses 30 through 32. So Ezekiel talks to him. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another, saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you, as people do. They sit before you, as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. They came to hear him talk, but for all the wrong reasons. Do we love to hear someone because of how talented a speaker they are? Do we ever automatically think they, you know, we see on the rotation, we think, ooh, such and such is teaching. I love their teaching style. I really am looking forward to this one. Well, that's great that we have a speaker with whom we can connect and that draws us in. But are we excited about the speaker, or are we excited about the message that the speaker is going to be presenting to us? If hearing is going to be of any profit whatsoever, it must be accompanied by doing. To be blessed in our lives as Christians, it all begins with listening in the proper way. And if that's the case, how important is listening? You know, when it comes to listening to God, it's incredibly important. The importance can't possibly be overstated. Where's Isaiah at? Is that before Ezekiel? Isaiah, Jeremiah. There we go. Turn with me to Isaiah 55. We're getting ready to wrap up. All you people on your digital Bibles, I can't hear your pages turning. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear, and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make you an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Why do we invest so much time in what's not important? Why do we waste away our energy and our effort and all of this stuff? Why do we funnel it into things that don't matter? There's so much that's going on that's not crucial to our lives that we dedicate our energies to. We make ourselves so busy for things that don't really matter. Jess and I were talking about this last night. We make ourselves so busy with work and school and our service organization and with just all kinds of stuff. People wanting to go out and do things. And then we have to, you know, get groceries for our apartment, and then we have to go and do this and do that and do. Surely we could find a way to cut down on some of that. Is there ever a time when God's not listening? And I don't mean listening the way we listen. I mean listening. He's always listening for us. Always ready to hear us. Always paying attention to us. But it is possible that God stops hearing what we say. Isaiah 59, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Okay, so that's kind of an awful position to be in. We know for a fact that there are times when God's not listening to us. And I don't know about you, but if I ever need him, let me rephrase that. I need him all the time, but when those times come that I am absolutely crushed and I know I can't do it without him and I'm begging for him to help me, I want him to hear me. I want him to be listening for me. But you know, we can take care of that problem. That problem of God not hearing us because our sins have separated us from him. By taking the mercy that's offered through Jesus. God told us, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." And do we hear him? Are we obedient to him? Because if we hear him, we'd be obedient. But Jesus asked a question once. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Why do we tell others, "He is my Savior," and then we ignore his commandments? Why do we tell ourselves, "I'm a Christian, I love God, I love Jesus," and then we ignore his commandments? Are we really listening to him? He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Jesus said it a lot. Because there was a lot of stuff in there that we needed to pay attention to, that they needed, and that we needed, and that everyone who comes after is going to need. And are we listening to it? Do we have those itchy ears? Are we the ones who listen without hearing? Or do we listen with that good and noble heart? Are we aware of the dangers that come by not being a good listener? Are we aware of the benefits of being a good listener? And is it important enough to us to actually want to do something about it? Because if we're all honest with ourselves, or let me not speak for you, if I'm honest with myself, I know I can do better. Well, to bet you all can probably do a little bit better too, to varying degrees. So are we going to actually do something about it? I've gotten up here and I've given a lesson, so I don't have an excuse anymore. I've done my homework and I have paid attention and I put the lesson together. I know where the problems are in myself. Am I actually going to do something about it? And that's the challenge that each and every one of you gets to leave here with today. Have I identified challenges in myself, problems in myself, areas where I can improve, and am I going to do anything about it? Jesus identified a problem in all of us. He identified that we're sinners and that we can't save ourselves. So God, in His infinite wisdom and in His infinite mercy, sent a piece of Himself down to this earth to fix that problem. And so we get Jesus, who lived a life, came down here, gave us our guidebook, gave us everything we needed, and said to Himself, they still can't fix themselves. They still can't do this on their own. So He went to the cross for us. And He gave Himself up, and He died to take away that final barrier. He said, now they've got the tools they need. Now they've got My Word. Now they have each other for support. And through My sacrifice, they have My blood to keep them clean. Have you taken Him up on that offer? He did it for everyone. Did it for me. Did it for all of you. And did it for everybody that will never know His name. That's a sad thought. If you haven't taken Him up on that offer, now's an excellent time. Now might not be an excellent time. That water might be real dirty. We can fix it, though. If you have taken Him up on that offer, maybe you've slipped a little bit. We understand that life gets hard. And sometimes we don't make the best decisions. And sometimes we don't live our lives the way we should. Now is the time to correct that. God's always listening for us. He's always listening for us to come back to Him and to make things right. We need to make a lesson out of that. We need to always be listening for Him. We need to always be listening for His message and for His guidance and for His direction in our lives. If you have a need, now is really the best time to address it while we stand and sing.